Well, today we're in chapter 2 of the book of Jonah, and I want to show you my favorite verse in the entire book of Jonah. Hang on a second. Did I say chapter 2? What chapter did I say? What chapter are we in? 3. It's been a long week, so can I just start over? We'll just cut a little bit there. We'll start over. Will you give me a second chance? Anybody? Give me a second chance to get this right, okay? So, here we go. All right, today we're in chapter 3 of the book of Jonah. And I want to show you my favorite verse from the entire book of Jonah. Jonah 3:1 says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. How many of you are thankful for a God of second chances? Which raises the question, did I mess up by accident? Or was that on purpose to illustrate that we have a God of second chances? Okay, that might have been an illustration. If I mess up from here on, it's for real, just so you'll know. Now, before we dive into chapter 3, I want to review just a little bit where we've been in case you missed one of the last 2 weeks. We've been in the book of Jonah, and we read that the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, "Go to Nineveh and preach to the people," because they were a very mean people. They were horribly wicked. I mean, they would torture people. They were horrible. And so God told Jonah to go. He said no, and God said whoa. I'll show you on the map what it looks like one more time. Jonah was in Joppa. God said go to Nineveh, 550 miles. He went in the opposite direction, got in a boat sailing in the opposite direction, and when he was in the boat, God sent a big storm. The sailors thought that they were all going to die. So they didn't want to, but they ended up throwing Jonah overboard to try to save themselves. And we get to the last verse in chapter 1 that said, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah," which is almost kind of funny. The Lord provided a big fish to eat Jonah. Doesn't sound like provision. Sounds like a problem. And last week we learned that sometimes what we call a problem, God calls provision. The Lord provided a fish and it swallowed Jonah up. And he's in the fish and he prays. And we read last week that he prayed and the Lord heard his prayer, but you remember, nothing happened immediately. He's waiting 3 days and 3 nights. He's waiting and he's waiting. And we learned the principle last week that while you're waiting, God is still working. Which is incredible news for those of you that have been praying for a long time. When you pray, God hears your prayer. Even if you don't see anything, it doesn't mean God's not doing anything. While you're waiting, God is still working. And then last week, we ended with the very last verse of chapter 2, verse 10, says this, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, the word in Hebrew translated as vomited on to dry land is literally translated as beach barf. Beach barf. Not really, but wouldn't that be cool? And so, I mean, it's kind of gross. The fish throws Jonah up. He's on the shore. He's alive, but he's a mess. His salvation is like some of yours. It wasn't clean. You went through some stuff, and he went through some stuff. He's there. He's in fish guts, you know, fish bile. This is nasty. And chapter 3 starts with my very favorite verse. And chapter 3 says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. How many of you are thankful that we serve a God of second chances? We serve a God that doesn't just call, but our God calls back. And some of you may take a moment and you may just in your own heart just tell God, thank you, because you're like Jonah. You couldn't save yourself, and we couldn't save ourselves. And Titus 3:5 tells us this, that God saved us not because of righteous things that we have done, but why? Because of his mercy. Because we serve a compassionate God. Because we have a God of grace. Because we have a God that calls back. We serve a God of second chances. And there's not a single person that's ever been saved by your own righteousness. Scripture tells us that we're not saved by works, but we're saved by grace through faith. So no one can brag about it. We are saved by the grace of Jesus, the risen Christ. And we can thank God that everyone, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how dark your life is, doesn't matter how much you've messed up, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Our God doesn't just call, but he calls back. The God of second chances. This is in many ways the story of the Bible. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, we serve a God of second chances. I'll show you some highlights and just let it sink in. There's a lot to look at because God is a righteous, gracious God. Adam and Eve, they sinned against God, but God displayed grace and made a covering for them. Moses murdered a man, but God displayed grace and still used him to free Israel. David committed adultery and then committed murder to cover it up. But God displayed grace, and when he repented, God forgave him and still called him a man after God's own heart. Rahab, she lived as a prostitute, but God displayed grace and used her to help protect the spies and redeemed her in the lineage of our Savior, Jesus. Zacchaeus, he was a corrupt tax collector. He stole from the people and was greedy. But God displayed grace, and Jesus came to his home for dinner and forgave his sins and made him new. Peter denied Jesus 3 times before his death, but God displayed grace and forgave Peter and reinstated him and used him to help build the early church. Thomas, he doubted Jesus after the resurrection. But our God is a good God of second chances. Our God displayed grace and met Thomas in his doubt and in his need and gave him what he needed to believe. I thank God. I thank God for my salvation. I thank God for his grace after my salvation. I thank God that he is a God of compassion, that he is a God of mercy, that he is a God of second chances. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Now, why did he run the first time? The word of the Lord came to him the first time. Why did he run? We're going to find out next week in chapter 4. And I got to tell you, chapter 4 is a little odd. It's a little weird. You got to take my word for it. You got to come back. It's interesting and it's odd. But we're going to find out next week very clearly why he disobeyed God the first time. And the reason chapter 4 tells us Jonah didn't want to go is because he knew God's character. He knew God's nature. And he knew God was so compassionate to the people that he hated. He didn't want to do it because he didn't want them forgiven. Which is really kind of funny when you think about it, because Jonah enjoyed when God showed him grace. He just didn't want God to show them grace. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And verse 2 tells us this. What did the Lord tell him to do? God said, get up. He said, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Now, do you remember way back in chapter 1, which direction did Jonah go? Did he go up or down? When he ran from God, he went down, down, down. Now the Lord says, you're not going down anymore. Now it's time for you to get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message that I have given you. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. The word get up in the Hebrew, the word get up, it means sort of three things. The word get up, it means to do it now. It means to do it immediately. It means to go now, to go immediately, to go today. Okay? Go immediately. And that's why I want to say to you, whenever God speaks to you through his word, do it now. Do it immediately. Do it today. Whenever the Holy Spirit prompts you, you know, like maybe to be generous to somebody, and you're like, is that God telling me to be generous, or is that the devil telling me to bless him? You know that's God. Of course it's God. Okay? You think the devil's going to tempt you, prompt you to be generous? Whenever God prompts you to do something, do it now. Do it immediately. Do it today. The first time the word of the Lord came to Jonah, he ran from God. This time, what does he do? Verse 3 tells us that he obeyed. This time, Scripture says that Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. Historians tell us that there would have been about 120,000 or so Ninevites living there at this time. So he said to go preach to 120,000 people that he despises with all of your heart. Go to Nineveh, this very large city. And so he went in there. Took him 3 days to go through the city. And he began by going on a day's journey in the city, proclaiming dot, dot, dot. Now, what comes after the dot, dot, dot is the sermon that he gave them. But before I show you the sermon that he gave them, I just want you to pause and recognize where we are, okay? He is one man in enemy territory. His life is in danger. He hated them. They hated him. And he didn't want to be there. He didn't like them. He probably thought, there's no way they're going to hear this message. And so he preached this message. Now, this is just a little advice. If you're ever going to do like a sermon or a Bible study or, you know, something like that, one of the things I suggest oftentimes is to do a little opener. Something creative to get people's attention. Like, I don't know, pretend you mess up and then show them that God has second chances. That's intentional to try to help bring you in. Or you might want to say something that speaks to someone's, you know, felt need. And like, God loves you, you know. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Jonah didn't do that. Jonah didn't do any of that. Let me show you what Jonah did. Scripture says he went on a day's journey proclaiming, now here's the sermon, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. 40 more days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. That's his sermon. 40 more days and God's going to wipe you off the face of the earth. That's his sermon. That's what he said. He probably said more. We don't have any record of it. But we know he said 40 more days from now, okay, he's going to destroy all of you. Why is he doing this? Well, that's what God told him to say. God said, go tell them the message that I'm proclaiming. If you don't repent, then you don't get to stay here. And he's probably thinking, this is just dang stupid. These people hate God. They hate me. They're not going to listen. There's no way this is going to work. Now, some of you right now, you have someone, you're a follower of Jesus, and you have someone in your life that you think there is no way they will ever meet the grace and the love of Jesus. Someone in your life, like they're so far from God, there's no way that they would ever turn from their sins and surrender their lives to Jesus. And I want to say specifically to you, never underestimate what God might be doing in someone's life. I found in 30 plus years of ministry that oftentimes when someone looks very, very low, there's only one way they have eventually to look, and that's up. Don't underestimate what the Holy Spirit might be doing in someone's life. You might have someone right now that you love and you think there's no way that she's ever gonna or he's ever gonna come back. Don't give up hope Because Jonah preached this very short and this very blunt sermon. And what happened? Verse 5 says, the Ninevites believed God. What? These evil, horrible, wicked people? The Ninevites believed God. The Ninevites believed God. Now, how many of you know there is a big difference between believing in God and actually believing God? Some of you right now, you just believe in God. Like, well, of course I believe in God. I'm at church, right? I mean, I'm right here. I'm watching this YouTube video. Of course, I believe in God. Just because you believe in God doesn't mean you believe God. The Ninevites believed God. James said this. He said, "You believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder." Believing in God is different than believing God. Some of you here, the problem is, you believe in a loving God, but you don't believe that God truly loves you. Or you believe in a God that answers prayers, but you don't have the faith to believe that He'll hear the cries of your heart and answer your prayers. Or you believe in a God that will save the lost, but you don't think that God will save that person that you're praying for. I want to say to somebody here, don't just believe in Him, believe Him. Don't just believe that God can, but believe that our good God will. He can and He will do abundantly more than all you can ask, think, or imagine. Don't just believe in, believe Him. The Ninevites believe God. Verse 5 says this, they believed God and a fast was proclaimed. That means they're not going to eat for some period of time. From the greatest to the least, they put on sackcloth. That's a form of mourning for their sinfulness. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, the evil king, what did he do? He rose from his throne. He took off his royal robes and he covered himself with sackcloth and sat down in the dust. Very, very interesting. The Ninevites believed God. And this evil pagan king stepped away from the throne, took off his royal robe, and covered himself in sackcloth, saying, God, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. In humility, he removed himself from the throne. In a similar way, there may be someone here. It's time for you to take yourself off the throne of your life and say, I'm no longer the Lord of my life. And I'm going to turn away from my sins and turn toward God. The word in the Bible is the word repent. It means we're turning away from our sins. And in verse 8, Scripture says this, let everyone call urgently on God. The king says this, the king's like, hey, call on God now. Call on God now. You need Him now. Call on Him now. Call on God. Don't sit around. Don't wait for later. Call on Him now. Some of you right now, if I could just say it, you're like putting off fully, completely calling on God. I'm going to wait till I get older. when I'm finished adulting and life gets serious, and then maybe I get married one day, or maybe when we have kids, or maybe I'll call on God, you know, when I really need him. You need him now. Like, you need his grace now. You need his power now. You need his mercy now. You need his Holy Spirit now. You need his love now. You need his strength. You need him now. The king said, call on him now. Now, today, with the urgency, call on him. And the king said, repent. It's a beautiful word. Re, it means to turn. It's to turn away from going the wrong way. Turn toward God. Pent means the highest, like the penthouse, that we're turning away from. We're not going down, down, down. We're getting up and we're turning toward God. We're turning away from the lower things of this world, and we're looking up to God. It's a turn of a heart. It's a beautiful thing to repent. To truly repent, it's to change your mind so deeply, it changes you completely. I'm changing my mind. I'm not the Lord of my life. I'm no longer on the throne. It's no longer about my desires and my wishes and what I want. And you know, it is everything, God, everything. I surrender to you everything. Jonah preached, and the nation, by the power of God, turns to him. The Ninevites repented. Now, here's what's interesting. How did God respond when the Ninevites repented? I'll tell you right now. Can we just be real? If I were God, and I'm not, and everybody should be glad I'm not, if I'm God and they're repenting, I'm going to say, prove it. Let's see if it lasts. I mean, I want to see if you really mean it. I'm going to give you a year to see if you are on good behavior, because I'm not going to just let you turn one day and tell me you mean business. I want to see it. If I were God, that's what I would do. Thank God I'm not God. Verse 10 says this: when God saw what they did and how they turned, how they repented, how they turned from their evil ways, he relented. He said, I'll destroy you if you don't turn. They turned, and so he relented and didn't bring on the destruction that he had threatened. I love this. Whenever they repented, God relented. Whenever they turned to him, God took back his threat to destroy them, and he showed them compassion. In the very same way that when you mess up again, God, I'm never going to cuss again, blah, 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 right? You know, I'm not going to yell at my kids again. And you lose your temper at your kids again. God, I'm not going to listen to those negative voices. And then all of a sudden, you get sucked into those negative, you know. God, I'm not going to be hateful. I'm not going to be critical. God, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be mean to my spouse again. Here's great news. When you mess up, the word of the Lord comes to you again. And you mess up again, and the word of the Lord comes to you again. And God shows compassion to you. In fact, Scripture says in Isaiah 30, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. Look at what that says. The Lord longs to, he desires to, he wants to, he purposes to show you compassion. He's not looking like going, hey, I'm going to catch him doing something wrong. No, he's longing to show grace to you. He wants to show you his compassion. He wants for you to feel it when you turn from it, when you repent. He relents. He shows you compassion. The word of the Lord is coming to someone again today. And the question that I want you to ask yourself, and it's very, very simple, because the word of the Lord is coming to you again. And the question is this: what is God trying to show you? What's he saying to you? What message is he sending your way? Just ask yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit. Talk about it with people you know around you. What is God trying to show you? Here's what I've discovered in my own life, in years of walking with God in his goodness. I found that it's usually one of two things that God's trying to show me. Either it's a sin that he's trying to save me from, or an opportunity he's trying to call me to. Most of the time, when God's trying to show me something, it's either a sin, something in my life that's displeasing to him, something that's dangerous to me, something outside of his will that hurts his heart, hurts others, and hurts me. It's a sin. It's pride, or it's anger, or jealousy, and comparison, or financial insecurity, or greed, or something. He's trying to show me something in my life that's he's trying to remove, to protect me from, or he's trying to call me to do something, an opportunity. And it's usually to be generous, to serve, to be a voice of encouragement, to pray with someone. It's usually a sin he's trying to save me from, or an opportunity he's trying to call me to. What is the Lord trying to show you? God, what are you trying to show me? And the good news for you is this: that the word of the Lord is coming to you again. And he's giving you a second chance. He's giving you a second chance. He's giving you a second chance. Another chance. And the word of the Lord is coming to you again. And he's giving you another chance. Remember this. He's giving you another chance. Don't forget this. Remember this. He's giving you another chance. Don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget this. Remember that God is a God of second chances, that every chance from God demands a choice from you. Don't ever forget it. The word of the Lord is coming to you again, and he's giving you another chance. And every chance from God demands a choice from you. He's coming to you. Some of you, you've brushed him off. You've taken him for granted, and he's coming to you again. Some of you, you are close to God, and you drifted from it, and he's coming to you again. Some of you, you've never really known him. And you've considered it. You've thought about it. You kind of flirt with it. And he's coming to you again. And the good news is we serve a God of second chances. Our God doesn't just call, but he calls back. And maybe God is calling you again today. Think about the compassion of our good God. He didn't give up on Jonah when Jonah turned his back on God. He didn't give up on the sailors who are far, far from him. He didn't give up on the king who was evil and wicked. God didn't give up on the Ninevites. And God hasn't given up on you. Our God is the God of second chances. If you messed up in your life, the word of the Lord is coming to you again. If you feel ashamed or stuck in the same old sin, the word of the Lord is coming to you again. If you're away from God and you feel like you've lost all hope, you've been too bad, the word of the Lord is coming to you again. And if you think for a moment, after what I've done and who I've hurt, and how dark my life is, and how bad my sin is, and how much I've hurt people, remember, God's grace is greater than your greatest sin. The Lord longs to show compassion. The word of the Lord is coming to you again. The word of the Lord, he is so good, he's coming to you again. He's giving you another chance. And just remember, every chance from God demands a choice from you. The word of the Lord is coming to you again. Let us pray. So, Father, we pause to give you thanks. We serve you, we worship you. A God of second chances. And Lord, help us to see that this is something we didn't do to deserve. It's not because of our righteousness. It's because of your grace and your compassion. That you not only call us, but you call us again. We truly thank you that you are a God of second chances. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.